You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Code of conduct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Spence the King. I am back live. This is Monday, April 12th, and I'm excited to be back with you guys live as we do it here with the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Y'all go ahead, do me a favor and hit subscribe, hit like. If you're watching on Twitter, if you're watching on Facebook, also go ahead and share that thing for me. Go ahead and retweet it for me. I want to give a shout out and I want to say rest in peace to DMX, man. I want to give a shout out to a legend, somebody who I know we throw that term legend out a whole lot. We throw that term out there a ton. And, you know, DMX is one of those guys who was actually one of the best at his craft at a point in time in his career. You know, I think back to 1998, he came out with two albums that went platinum, man. Just amazing. So, you know, short-lived life, tragic death, you know. So I just want to give a shout out at the beginning of this pod to DMX, one of the greatest of from what I, you know, hip hop is one of the things that I love dearly, and he's one of the best to do it. So shout out to DMX, man, and everybody who loved him. It's all right to mourn him. It's all right. You know, and when a bunch of famous people pass away, you know, I hate seeing the negativity when people say like it's a bad thing to show emotion to these people. Man, like this music, whether it's DMX or whether it was whoever, like it's like a soundtrack to your life. Like every time so now that I'm listening to his music that he passed away again, I'm thinking back to like all the times like when I was in high school and the stuff with my family and you know, barbecues and cookouts and all that stuff, you know, it's the soundtrack to your life. So it's all good. If you got some feelings and you got some love from a man DMX there or whoever, like I said, so we're going to get right into the show. It's the Code of Conduct. And y'all know it's I try to have a good time here. So I'm going to bring in one of my friends here. So I'm bringing in somebody. It's a special guest for me because he's a co-founder. It's a big deal. Whenever you can throw that title co-founder or founder, you know, like, it's a big deal. I got the co-founder of the Broviate Union Sports Network. My man, you know what? He needs no introduction. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm cooling, man. I'm grateful to have you on. Thank you for joining me today. Dude, how's it going?
It's going good, but really it comes down to you. We've been talking about doing something like this for a long time, whether it's on one of my podcasts or whether it's coming on the Code of Conduct. And so the fact that you had reached out and you were like, let's set a firm date to do this. I'm like, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for, you know, you letting me on here, man. I appreciate it.
Man, anytime. Like I said, I've been wanting to do something with you for a while. So, you know, kind of wanted to make sure because I'll mess around and get busy and not even remember that I said it. And then it's like, hey, we talked about it like last year. And yeah. I'm that guy. So let's start it off with something fun. I want some engagement tonight. Everybody, it's going to be a fun conversation. Then we're going to get into some more pressing, more football issues. I want to get into it, man. The Buffalo Bills are winning, right? So it feels a lot like it used to feel back when I was a kid. So when I was a kid back in the 90s, the Buffalo Bills were doing their thing. Now you got Josh Allen, you got Stephon Diggs. It's the same thing that we felt with Andre Reed and Jim Kelly, right? We feel the same. At what point, man, at what point are we going to be able to look the same? I want to go back. I want to bring back the Buffalo Jills. I want to get the jigginess back. The Dallas Cowboys still got, they still got cheerleaders. I think there's some teams, some good teams with some cheerleaders. Why Buffalo? I know it's cold, but it was cold back in the 90s. So what? And then, you know, what about these red helmets? I get it that the white helmets are the fresh thing. And now we finally went back to the white face mask. I want the red helmets at least for an alternate game. We're going to start off the show with this, and then we're going to get into some more serious stuff. We're going to get into it. So, Ryan, what do you think, man? We can start off. Let's start off talking about the red helmets, man, because I feel like we got the swag now. Josh is, he got that energy. Isaiah McKenzie is real funny. We love to see how he interacts with people. Stephon Diggs is real funny on Twitter and everything. Yeah. What about on the field, though, man? I want that red helmet. I want those blue jerseys back.
Well, dude, I think – first and foremost, I think the Bills have always had one of the best uniforms in the NFL, even going all the way back to like the AFL days. We've always looked good, whether we've actually played well while we're in them, you know, depended on the year, depended on who is on the team. I mean, yeah, you're right. We got the white face masks now to go with the white helmets. I agree with you, though. I think that like the red helmet should definitely come back in some type of throwback way. But that's going to be on the NFL to change around the helmet rules for the season. But I agree with that. That being said, though, like for the full uniforms, I like the shade of blue that we have now. The NFL seems to have trended in that lighter direction. I don't personally see why the Bills should go back. I'm kind of against that, but that's just because of my Sabres bias in the royal blue and all the jersey messing around that they've done over the years, as everybody can see behind me up here. So, yeah, I like the red helmets, and by all means, we should bring them back. I think the NFL should be able to do, not be able to do, but like teams should be able to kind of customize and play around a little bit. Like if you walked around different sports stores and stuff, I don't know, you know, when you were back out here in Buffalo, how often you got out to like the Galleria, but like some of these stores have like the matte black helmets with the red trimming,
yeah,
and stuff, just things that look really cool. That you're like, man, like if I could see this on the field one day, that would be really good. And there's a lot of good, I don't have anybody off the top of my head, but there's a lot of good graphic designers and creators out there that create really good helmet concepts, really good, awesome uniform concepts. And you're like, man, if I could see that in the NFL one day. And then you see something like the Rams uniform and you're like, I feel like there were definitely better choices than this.
See, I actually like the Rams uniform. You know, it's not the best. I'm not saying that it's the one that I would pick out of every, you know, like, but you're right. It could have been a tad bit better of a design, but I actually like it. I think the off-white gives it a special touch on the numbers, too. I really do.
I like it. It's just like the numbers look almost like gel-like for some reason, if like the light hits them in a certain way. But like I liked Atlanta's fade that they did, and then all the Chargers uniforms. Looked really good as well when they came out with them, like all the powder blue and stuff like that. So definitely a lot of good uniform helmet combos that are out there.
My man Chris Jenke, the real Chris Jenke, says he thinks he's the only Bills fans that likes the deep navy blue jerseys. And when he says that, I'm thinking that he's talking about like the early 2000s, like with the T.O. jerseys. Like that's what I call them.
Those were my favorite. So like for some reason, and people can dog on me for this, but like the guy that got me into liking the Bills was Drew Bledsoe. I was a big Drew Bledsoe fan.
Yeah, Rich just said that.
Yeah, and you mean the Bledsoe jerseys right down there at the bottom? And we've talked about this before. I asked you probably like a year ago. I was like, man, do you know where I can get a Drew Bledsoe jersey? Unfortunately, couldn't get my hands on one of those dark blue ones. I ended up getting one recently with the new colors. The number 11 and Bledsoe's name on it, so I'm thankful for that. But those were my favorite jerseys. The white version, the away, the road jerseys, those looked really good too, especially with the red helmets. So
I think because I don't want to talk bad about them, because I didn't dislike them. I don't think that they were like horrendous like everybody, you know, every time they come up you see a post and they're like, oh my god, those are horrible. I posted a video the other day of Terrell Owens' first touchdown as a Buffalo Bill, and they had those jerseys on, and like there was at least 40 comments like, those are the worst jerseys I've ever seen in my life. But I don't think they're that bad. But the thing is, I really do like the blue like that we have. I like that. I just like the combination that we currently have. I just really would like to see that red helmet with it. The white is cool. Don't get me wrong. The white is cool. But that red helmet to me, man, I just, it's something about it that's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. What do you guys think in the comments? I see some people talking about the comments that Ryan, you know, that he was just talking about. See a couple people saying the same thing. They weren't fans of those jerseys. I like the jerseys we have now. I just want to see the red helmet with it.
Oh yeah, and you know it would be really cool if you could get like a lighter version of those red helmets for the color rush. Cause see, I'm a fan of solid colors, right? I like the all blue, I like the all white, I like the color rush because they're all red. I don't like the red and, or the blue and the white and the blue. I don't like that too much. But like a solid red color rush type helmet specifically for the color rush uniform, I think that would be really cool. But like the old school throwback, if you could do a full old school 1990s Super Bowl era type throwback, I think that would be pretty dope.
All right, real quick, before we go any further, because we're about to get into some football. Actually, we're going to talk about the Jills really quickly. Then we're going to dive into some good football talk. Hey, there's a few complaints in the comments here that your mic is pretty low. I don't know if you are able to turn yourself up or not. I actually can hear myself, which I normally can't, and I'm thinking it's a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, let me see if I can see. Okay, cancellation. Is that any better?
Let me know if his sound is better, guys. As far as the feedback, I can't hear myself anymore, so thank you for that part. So while they're giving us some feedback, I'm going to ask you straight out, man, what do you think about the Jills? I know right now it's a sensitive time. I don't want to get into political conversation, but I understand that it's like, you know, cancel culture is going really rough right now. There's a lot of guys that's getting canceled from 1922, and they deserve it. They deserve it. Guys who do things like that, they deserve it. However, I understand what it could bring, you know, and why a lot of teams aren't looking forward to bringing back cheerleaders or certain things like that. But I think that the cheerleaders, man, come on. I think it'll be a good look right now. We're back on prime time. We're the prime time Bills. I said last year, you know, we're America's team again.
I would agree. First off, our colors are red, white, and blue. So we're definitely America's team. We absolutely obliterated Dallas a few years ago on Thanksgiving. So, I mean, we definitely are America's team. I'm a little bit too young to remember the Jills. My first Bills games in like the mid 2000s, I sort of remember them, but really it was like my recollection of them came from like the Madden 2005 video game when they would do like the halftime thing in between the announcers would talk and like they would always have the cheerleaders perform. So for me, it's not really the cheerleaders and the Jills specifically isn't really that big of a thing for me. I know it's a bigger thing for older fans, not to say that you're old, but for older fans that like, you know, before you said like growing up in the 90s and like, man, I was born in 98. Like I don't have.
Oh, man.
So like this is my first winning team, right? Like I grew up a hockey kid. So like this is my first winning, you know, Bills team. So, you know, but I think kind of going back to that was a focal, the entertainment part of it was a focal point because the teams were not always that great. You know what I mean? And so now that we're kind of winning, it's like, you know, you're not going to the games for the drum line. I mean, they're really cool. It's kind of loud if you're sitting right behind them, which I've done a couple of times. It's kind of like where I choose my seats, but man, I'm going to the game to watch Josh Allen. I'm going to the game to watch Tre'Davious White. Now I'm going to the games to watch Gabe Davis go out there and toe the line with those catches. So, you know, for me, it's not for the Jills. If they bring them back, great. But I think that, like you had mentioned before, I think that just the environment has kind of moved on from the cheerleaders. I think that the Bills fans have moved on from the cheerleaders. And I think that the team has moved past the point for, you know, trying to bring entertainment versus a winning football team.
See, I feel like I understand where you're coming from, and I feel you. The reason why I'm gonna debate that is because so when you think about winning organizations and you think about like championship, I'm sorry, my dog is like trying to jump up and but when you think about championship organizations and you think about a bunch of like, you know, major just the best organizations. Think about the Lakers. You remember the Laker girls. You know the Laker girls.
Yeah.
No.
And that's
I'm just saying, it's a certain.
Like, isn't even an NBA fan. Like, I'm not even an NBA fan, and I know who the Laker girls are. So I know what you mean, but it's like the Buffalo Jills weren't like a big thing. I think out of all the cheerleading, or out of all the NFL teams, like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, because they had that reality TV show, like they were kind of the NFL equivalent to like the Laker girls. But like, I feel like for Buffalo, maybe that was more of a local thing. I don't know if that was really, because obviously it was more prevalent around the thing. The NFL. It's kind of, you know, it's like, it's not like Buffalo isn't the only one that has, or that doesn't have the cheerleaders. You know, so it's like everybody's kind of expanded out and started to do their own things.
Yeah, but I will tell you, I understand you did call me old. I don't take offense to it. But in the 90s, the Jills were a big deal. Like the people loved the Jills, not just in Buffalo. People absolutely loved the Jills. But let's get into some football talk, man. That's enough of that fun stuff there. So at the bottom, I don't know if you guys can see the ticker there at the bottom. Our guy. One of our own, Dean Marlowe, man, I loved him. He signed with the Detroit. It just hurts. It just hurts. He signed with the Detroit Lions, man. And first of all, I want to say good for him. Congratulations to Dean Marlowe. He deserved more snaps. I think that he's one of those guys. I mentioned somebody on Twitter asked me, I think they were a Detroit fan, actually asked me, like, you know, is he good? And I'm like, look, he absolutely deserved more snaps. He absolutely deserved a chance at making more money. And when he had the chance to fill in, whether it was for injury or for whatever purpose, we didn't see a drop off. You get what I'm saying? Like, you normally don't get that when the backup comes in. When the backup comes in, it's like, oh, that didn't happen with him. How do you feel about, how do you feel about the state of the team at this point? I know we got our guys, our top guys locked in for a couple more years now, but how do you feel about our safeties after our top guys?
So, safeties after the top guys, I'm kind of going to go both ways, because we got to see a little bit of Jaquan Johnson last season, and almost the same thing. When he was out there, you didn't see, like, a regression from any time that he was out there before. You didn't see a regression from camp. Like, he was a guy, he wasn't making, like, you know, I don't want to say he wasn't making massive plays, because he definitely did make massive plays, right? But, like, in terms of actual depth at safety, I think that we're gonna look to either probably draft someone either late in this upcoming draft, and I know that you said before the show you didn't really want to get in the draft talk, so we won't go that in depth.
No, we can. Let's go for it. If you think that there's a
I'm not saying that I have like anybody specifically in mind, but I'm just saying in terms of like a position that in terms of backfilling, but adding depth to the safety position, especially after losing somebody like Marlowe. I don't know. We might go for somebody in the draft. Jaquan Johnson is certainly an option there still for depth, but we're probably going to go for somebody in the draft. And if not, I'd expect them to sign a UDFA or possibly somebody that gets dropped off of another team because they drafted a safety. So, I'm 95% confident, which is pretty high, but I'm like 95% confident that you're going to see Brandon Bean go after a safety or two at some point starting in 3 weeks.
Well, Chris agrees with you because he mentions that he's upset that we lost Marlowe, but he thinks that we're going to be drafting a safety or linebacker hybrid in the draft. Chris, if you have just an idea at all of what direction you think we're going to go in when you're talking about safety, what round or what guy, let us know. Throw it in the comments. Everybody in the comments, let us know who you think or how you think we're going to address the safety position once you get past our starters. Because like I said, our starters, man, I will argue with anybody that we have the best safety tandem in the league. Now, I'm not saying we have the two best guys. I think we have the best tandem. I can make a strong case that both guys are, you know, obviously top seven in their positions. I think we have the best tandem in the league by far, though, you know. And so, but after that, by chance of any injury, they are getting a year, you know, they're a year older than they were this last year. So, you know, you keep putting those hits that they put on these guys. It takes a toll on their body. But like I said, these guys are good. Once we take a step past them, you're one bad hit, you're one bad fall. Cause I was in love with Aaron Williams. One bad hit, one bad injury away from now not having these stud guys back there. How do you feel about what we have right now, man?
Yeah, I just and so actually I want to kind of touch on what Chris brought up about the hybrid. I mean, obviously players have played different positions. Isaiah McKenzie, who you brought up earlier, probably the most notorious on the Bills. I think he's played pretty much every position, right? Wide receiver, corner. He plays the you know, he plays QB in practice when they're going up against the guy who's maybe a little bit shorter.
Kick return.
Returning. Now he's a star, right? He's in all of our media and stuff. So like Isaiah McKenzie's probably doing, I don't want to say the most, but he's all over the place right now. But you're gonna see a lot more guys coming in that are hybrids. I mean, look at Isaiah Simmons on the Cardinals right now. He came in and the idea was we're not gonna, you know, define him to one position. We're gonna move him around the backfield. You got guys that are coming out of this draft where they're talking about, hey, we're gonna move them to different positions. They're not just gonna stick to this one. So you're gonna start seeing that a whole heck of a lot more. But yeah, no, I would definitely expect them to, you know, start the clock in 3 weeks. You're gonna start, you know, the hunt's gonna be on for safety depth for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, Kenny has a good point and good question. He brings up Cerrone Neal. Wasn't he supposed to be a safety? Would you consider him good depth there? Now, when I look at Cerrone, I look at him personally as a special teams. Like to me, he's one of those guys, kind of like when we added. What's his name? Now I'm having a brain fart. The running back that we added last year, Tawan Johnson. You know, there's certain guys that you know, hey, this guy is very good at special teams. He's going to be the reason why we're going to be top seven or top five in special teams. That's how I view Neil. Do you view him as somebody that you really want to plug and play on the field on defense now?
I mean, so I would agree with you that he's definitely – like I – like. You view him more as a special teamer because he's made those plays on special teams. But like, he's definitely not a guy that like, if Poyer or Hyde were to go down, he's not the next guy that I want up. He's like third or fourth down the line where for some reason our safeties are getting knocked out left and right and he has to get put in there. He has that familiarity with the position that I would trust that he could play that for a game or two while, you know, Bean moves guys over to IR, gives them injury settlements and tries to bring other guys in. But he's not like a long-term, you know, hopefully, you know, let's use, for example, Poyer's injury, lacerated kidney from when he was back in Cleveland, a long-term injury like that. He's not a guy that I want as that long-term position by any means. And that's not to say that he couldn't be good. I mean, we haven't really seen him in that safety position for a year or two now. But yeah, in terms of long-term, no, I don't think that he's long-term in the safety position. He's a temporary replacement, though.
See, nights like this, I wish that my guy Bruce was in the comments. I know I feel he's probably recording a pod or something right now, but because I want to know, like, if there's somebody in the draft that's a safety that I know we don't have a fourth round draft pick. Some people are speculating we're probably going to try to trade back and gain extra picks and maybe gain another fourth. I debate that. I think it's debatable. The reason why I think it's debatable, I know that we have some holes in the future. We have some things coming up. But this year, I think there's a window for a championship. And I don't think a bunch of our draft picks are going to make the team. So I don't think that there's going to be a need for extra draft picks this year, but we'll see. I mean, Brandon Bean he's been very smart. I'm just a podcast guy. There's a reason why I'm sitting here doing a podcast and I'm not the GM for a football team, but no, I really do. I think that this year, as far as getting extra picks, I just don't think it for now makes sense. If it was to the point where you had the time to develop some guys who could come in and make a difference as well, I just think we're too deep, man. Like, who are you going to cut?
Yeah.
Like, well, past year, you're going to obviously your first round, second round, third round for sure, right? Those guys you feel like are going to make your roster. You're not going to put your first round draft pick on the practice squad. That's not going to happen. Somebody's going to pick him up as soon as possible. So, you get what I'm saying? It's like, you know, so you anticipate a certain amount of guys making it. We're not going to see Dane Jackson's making it to the roster this year unless the guys that were on the practice squad, like a Dane Jackson, unless you don't think he's making the roster this year and you're going to replace him already.
Yeah.
I just think we're looking at value at this point. So is there a guy in the first three rounds, first four rounds that you think, hey, this guy is one that can come in and we can plug him in?
On the topic of safety, nah, there's not a guy that I can sit here. I know that there's like two or three names that have been floating around, not specifically on Bill's Twitter, but on all different sorts of different NFL Twitters that I'm connected into. But like, you know, I would agree with you. There's probably there's no reason for Bean to try and accrue more draft picks for this year. But there's every reason for him to try and shed a couple of draft picks, maybe a couple of players, and trade up, whether that's in the first round or anything else. But to your point, you know, most of the conversation, and I know that we've all seen it, has been about running back for the Bills. But right now the Bills have six or seven running backs in the running back room. You're telling me that we're going to go ahead and we're going to draft an eighth? So, I mean, it's not all these guys are going to unfortunately make the roster. Which, you know, everybody's a pretty much a fan favorite, on this team, but you know, it's, but in terms of safety, I don't have any names off the top of my head, but I think you're right. There's no way that we're adding draft picks. If any, we're going to lose some and trade up.
Okay. So, my man or my home girl, I'm not sure, cause I can't tell. So I apologize. VP Griff says, Devine Diablo is the hybrid that we're looking for. So right now on the screen, if you are joining us right now, I am showing some highlights from the season of Devine Diablo. It says from the season, he had 55 tackles, 4 interception, 8 passes defended from the safety position. That's very impressive. That is very impressive. So I don't know. Is this somebody who'd be an option? I'm not a draft guy. So, again, these are the nights that I wish Greg Thompson, you know, Bruce Nolan were in the comments. So that way they could tell me, like, hey, well, this guy is a such and such round draft pick. I would love to, from what I'm seeing so far on these clips, of course, I would love to see him in the red, white, and blue in Orchard Park. I don't know. I don't know, man.
One of the things I like about that, though, is that's not a name that, like, I've heard, right? That's not a name that's popped up before. And so that's a guy that Bean would go for. I'm not saying that that's, like, a for sure thing. But, I mean, he's really good at going at – I mean, like you brought up Dane Jackson. How many people had Dane Jackson on their wish list for the Bills, especially going – I mean, for me specifically, I was like, if we're not taking a corner in, like, the first 5 rounds, we shouldn't take one at all. And then we go and we draft – Dane Jackson there in the last round, and you know maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, but he's in like the CB2 CB3 conversation.
Well, we can actually talk about it now. I think that Dane Jackson, we I think it's to the point now where Bills fans are me. I'm gonna talk about me first. I'm hungry for an upgrade at CB2. I like Levi Wallace. I love Levi Wallace. I have a signed helmet in my office here somewhere of Levi Wallace. So when I tell you, like, I've spent money on him personally, like, I like Levi Wallace. So this is not me dissing him. This is not a hate thing. So please don't think I'm hating on my guy. What I'm saying is there have been times, whether it's been because of the system that we seem to put him in, whether it be because of the play call, whether it be because of just whatever it is, there are times that we give up big plays and Levi Wallace is the guy that seems to be the guy giving up the play. There are times that we can't get off the field and it's third and short and we're giving up an 8-yard completion or a 12-yard completion. And it's Levi Wallace or Teron Johnson that is the guy that seems to be giving up the play. I'm hungry, man, for a cornerback. I'm hungry for, the safety position. I can wait. This cornerback, let's talk about it. Dane Jackson. Okay. We drafted him. I think he's good. Bruce said the other day that he thinks that he's a slight upgrade to Levi. How do you see Levi? Dane. How do you see Dane?
Well, I'll, oh, sorry. Just hit my keyboard. I mean, we can talk about, you know, I can touch on both of them, but you and I have had this conversation on Twitter for the majority, every week last season. Every time we were on defense, you and I were tweeting back and forth about, hey, you know, is CB2 on this team, you know? But like you said, first off, again, I also love Levi. He definitely, I mean, that interception that he had in the end of the season, I want to say it was against, did he have one against Pittsburgh? It was one of the final games at the end of the season. But yep. Levi had a big interception. He has big moments, but his thing is he's inconsistent. And that was the thing that I was echoing to pretty much anybody that would listen to what I was saying like 2 years or going into last season, was he needs to fix his inconsistencies. And if he does, he's for sure, out of everybody that's on this team right now, our CB2. But as we saw throughout the season – yeah, he had his big moments, but more often than not, he was missing tackles. He was, you know, there was blown coverage. He was getting blown out by guys he shouldn't have been getting blown out by. And so I just, since he hasn't fixed those inconsistencies, like you said, it's time for where this team is headed. I mean, we were one game away from the Super Bowl, one game away. There's no reason that CB2 shouldn't be at the top of everybody's list, whether we draft one in the first round or in the second round. Like, that's a position that we absolutely need to fill. Now, I would agree, and I think you said Bruce said that he was an upgrade from Levi.
Yeah, slight.
So I would absolutely agree. He's a slight upgrade, but I think that's because we've only seen so much of Dane compared to Levi in actual regular season game situations that Dane looks more consistent than Levi already does. I'm not saying he's not, but I'm just saying from what we have seen in terms of game tape or been able to see because of the time that they're spending on the field, Dane looks a little bit better. By all means, he could be. I mean, I saw those workout videos. He's down there with, what's his name? The defensive tackle.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. So he's out there, you know, flipping tractor tires with Aaron Donald, you know, putting in the work in. So, you know, I for sure think that he's going to be in the battle for CB2. He's definitely an upgrade from Levi Wallace. But corner is like my first or second round must. You know, that's you want a top-tier talent. You don't want to go searching for that diamond in the rough in the fifth, sixth, seventh rounds for this position. Because – Trey can't do all the work, you know, going down there. And again, no hate to Levi by any means, but where you're at with Trey and where you're at the CB2 position, you know, that's a rather large drop off. And so you can't have that much of a disparity between your two guys in the backfield.
Well, let me ask you this. I've been seeing this name and I know I'm going to butcher it, right? I've been seeing Ife Melifonwu. Did I say it right?
I have no idea, but I've also seen the same name.
Okay. Well, I've been seeing a ton of it.
I'm like, whatever.
I've been seeing a ton of it. And apparently this kid is special. I have been watching some of his film. Again, I'm showing some of his highlights from this past season, from this very special cornerback from Syracuse. And listen, I would love, well, that's a commercial from YouTube. That is not that's not the guy that we were just looking at, but I would love if the Bills were to take somebody like that. Have you looked at any of his game film?
I've looked at a little bit, and yeah, I would agree. Like, you saw that hit right there. I mean, that's a guy that's going to bring some impact on the field. But the big thing is this defense has a tempo that's set, right? And like Trey, Micah, Poyer. These guys have been in the backfield together for a couple of years now. They have a tempo that's set. So you need to get this pick right. Because if this guy is not in that tempo, it screws up the defense. It screws up that, you know, it's that opportunity to be one game away from the Super Bowl. And it's always that – it's going to come down to that one play. You know what I mean? It's that Taron, yeah. it's that Taron Johnson pick. It's that Isaiah McKenzie return. It's that one play that's going to set the tone for the game and decide whether you win or lose it. And so if that's not a guy that can, I'm not saying he can't, because I haven't seen enough of him. And obviously college is a little bit different from the NFL. In fact, it's a lot of different. But if that's not a guy that can keep that same pace and be on that same level and make, and literally, I mean, we're talking about an immediate impact player. If he can't be that immediate impact player, then you've blown that opportunity for that season.
Yeah, and so where we're at 30, the thing is, so for me, I think most people would say we need a pass rusher first. Like, cornerback is like a need, but I think pass rusher would be first. At 30, I don't see us getting a good pass rusher. I see us being able to get a very good cornerback. So I'm with you. I would be all in on this cornerback thing, man. Is there anybody in particular at 30 who you would want?
I'm not going to attempt to say his name, but him.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you said, he's the guy that whose name you've seen the most of, and he seems to have garnered a lot of attention and praise from Bills Mafia specifically. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if it was a year earlier and it was Dane Jackson that they were taking in the second round, I would trust that Brandon Bean was making the right choice.
Well, I tell you, I do have a crush that I'm developing on Caleb Farley. I will tell you that based off of everything that I've seen, I do know that there are some injury concerns with his back. I believe his spine. He had a surgery recovering from some type of spine issue. So I get that. But everything else that I've seen, he's 6'2". He has like he was a wide receiver converted to cornerback. He could just do everything, man. Like I actually was looking up Caleb Farley for another pod that I was doing that I'm not a draft guy. And I tell people very honestly, I'm not a draft guy. So they actually gave me a list of people to look up. So I'm looking up Caleb Farley, and this kid is like, I'm like, dude, he could play. I didn't realize at the time, because I'm just watching film, I didn't realize that he had the injury. He's impressive, man. He's absolutely impressive. So I would like to see him. I could see Asante Samuel Jr., but at the same time, he's not the guy that you're going to put on the edge opposite Trey. He's that guy that's going to replace Teron Johnson. So I would like to see him too. We need to upgrade there too. Cause like I said earlier, Teron was one of those guys where it's third and three and we give up 12 yards over the middle to their slot receiver. And Teron is the guy that just so happens to tackle him by the ankles. Tired of it, man. Tired of it.
And it's the same. I mean, there's a couple of players where you can point if you were like, hey, give me a list of your two or three players that are like have inconsistency issues on the team. You just named two of them. For the third one, you're going to have to flip to offense and go to Dawson Knox. Like, the guy can make the most complicated catches ever. Like, if four or five people could be around him, he'll make that catch. But if it was like, just a little toss from Josh, he's going to drop it. And so it's like there are a couple of places where you just want more consistency, right? And, I mean, we're at the point now where, not to echo it again, but one game away from the Super Bowl, it's going to come down to best player available for the position, that you don't have a hole at, but that you definitely need a bit of an upgrade at. So I would agree with you that Samuels is a guy, is more of a slot guy. He's going to cover that slot wide receiver. But it was actually, I didn't know that Farley was a converted wide receiver from the stuff that I had seen. But when you look at his body, his build, he's built like a wide receiver. He's more on the thinner side, but he brings he packs a really good punch when he goes to bring these guys down. So again, also a guy that I would have up there for CB2. But like you said, that injury. That's you're gonna have to weigh that against the upside. I mean, that's how far. That's why injury is why. What's his face? Metcalf. That's why Metcalf fell so far in the draft a couple years back because of that neck injury. Nobody wants to deal with five neck injuries.
He fell because people are crazy, man. I don't care what anybody says. When you look at that guy, there's nothing. There's True. Nothing that. True. You look at him. Just look at him. Like, I don't even have to see game film. Just look at him. You mean to tell me you don't think that guy injured or healthy? You don't think he can run through a wall? Come on, man. No. Like,
I absolutely do. But, you know, also, I mean, so this doesn't really, you know, just for historical context, but the Bills have had to deal with guys specifically when it comes to like spinal injuries in the past, right? Kevin Everett, probably the most famous, unfortunately famous, maybe that's not the right word, but infamous. And so, you know, for some reason, I think about him every now and then.
But, I do too. You know, I actually searched for him not too long ago. I did. Searched for him.
Every now and then, you're just like, what is this guy? You know, what is he up to? And then, like you had mentioned earlier, Aaron Williams, with, you know, he had a couple of back injuries. And then obviously the Jarvis Landry hit that took him out of the NFL and ended his career kind of early. So, but no, you're right. I mean, Metcalf is a guy that you look at and you're like, he's going to probably kill somebody or put somebody in the hospital someday.
Right. he's like,
yeah, he's like the Derrick Henry wide receiver version. He's going to like completely toss somebody off to the side.
Yeah.
But I know that that was a big reason why a lot of teams, because that neck injury that I think it was like a disc or in his neck or a plate in his neck had cracked, or that there was an issue with it during his college career. So yeah, that's a good reason. It's a healthy reason to kind of look at somebody a little bit sideways. But again, it's going to be weighed against, you know, what's the upside that this guy's going to bring versus, you know, again, are we going to have the depth if they do get injured?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, real quick, cause you mentioned, cause I didn't want to skip past it too much. Cause you mentioned Dawson, we talked about Dawson Knox, about how he can make just like the most tremendous catches. And then those wide open, you know, it's like, come on, Dawson. So the Buffalo Bills were rumored. We haven't made any signings, anything like that. I know everybody was still looking forward to the possibility of like maybe a trade for Zach Ertz, but looks as if the Buffalo Bills are showing some interest in Jesse James. I know he used to play for the Steelers, and then I believe he played for Detroit for a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Detroit. How do you feel about the possibility of that? What do you think he brings to the team? What do you think he would, you know, do you think he would be an upgrade to anything that we have? I look at him like a blocker. I know like this particular film that I'm showing, he gets a ton of touchdowns. It's like his touchdown film, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. So I was actually going to mention the film first off. You can see though that he's more of like a red zone threat. He's going to be that guy that you're going to in the end zone, which is great. You need that guy. I mean, we definitely do have a red zone threat on a wide receiver, Isaiah Hodgins, you know, hopefully going to make the roster this year is a red zone threat. But you're right. He's way, at least in Pittsburgh and then Detroit, he was utilized way more as a blocker. That's what he typically goes for. We certainly need a blocking tight end with, you know, who can catch. I don't want to say he's a hybrid, you know, because he is more prone to being used as a blocking tight end. So do I think he'd fit the room? Maybe. I mean, Pittsburgh, except for their woes in the last year or two with some potential culture issues. I mean, Mike Tomlin, one of the best head coaches in the NFL, runs a really tight ship, except for, you know, the things with like Antonio Brown and Bell before that. I mean, it seemed like the culture in Pittsburgh was really good. So I don't see why he wouldn't be able to fit that room. But again, it's also how are they planning on utilizing that tight end? If he's not going to be a blocker, and they're not looking to specifically add a blocking tight end, there's better receiving options in the draft, in UDFA, in just free agency in general after that. There are guys that you can definitely go out there and get.
I think people are sleeping on the signing of Hollister, man. Like I think Hollister's good. I was watching the game the other day when the Bills played the Seahawks this past season, and he had a couple catches against us where it was like, okay, this dude, you know, and there's a relationship already there between he and Josh. So, you know, I think, to be honest, from what I've seen from the film that I've watched and the inconsistencies that I've seen with Dawson, I really think that Hollister could be, you know, actually competing for the number one tight end position on this team. I don't think that it's just like a signing for depth. I really think that he's athletic enough. He's a good pass catching tight end. He might not be the biggest tight end blocker. Like you obviously want him to block a little bit better, but dude, I think for the type of offense the Bills are looking to run, I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you got a guy who's athletic and you can move around a little bit. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. What am I seeing? Why am I seeing RIP in the comments? What's going on? Somebody please fill me in, or hopefully somebody's just jumping in late and they're seeing DMX now. I'm hoping that that's what it is. But yeah. Okay. I'm hoping that nothing else happened. Give us some more comments in the comments here. My man, VP GIF again says, fire up the YouTube tape on Peyton Turner from Houston, cornerback at 30 and edge at 63. Do you know anything about Peyton Turner?
No. Again, not a name that I've seen come up. So obviously somebody to definitely look into. But when it comes to tight ends, yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that Seattle game, the Seattle-Buffalo game, which I wish I did, because that was like one of the biggest games of the year, probably before you got to that Pittsburgh game. I would agree. Hollister has some speed to him. It comes in little spurts. It doesn't last that long, but he has some speed to him. And like you said, for the type of offense that McDermott and Dable are running, you're looking at fullbacks catching. You're looking at running backs catching out of the backfield. I mean, obviously Knox has the ability to catch. I honestly think that in terms of a catching tight end, Cross probably would have been more consistent if he had seen the field more. I think, I'd personally like to give Sweeney a little bit of a try. He's obviously a little bit on the shorter side, but he's kind of a fast guy. I'd like to see what he brings at tight end, or, possibly move him over to wide receiver and throw him in a slot position or something just to see what happens. So, I mean, I think that the options were definitely out there. Obviously, Croft no longer on the team. Trade a little bit of a Benedict Arnold going over to the New Jersey Jets, but I think that he could have brought some more catching at the tight end position. Again, though, I'm hoping that Knox gets more consistent, because like you saw those catches where he has 3-4 guys on him and he's making those impossible complicated catches, and he has the ability to make some significant gains on the field. He's not just that red zone, let's move the chains, get that down type guy. If he catches that ball, he's gonna run. So if he just works on that a little bit more, by all means, I want Dawson Knox to succeed. Don't take this as like I don't want him to, but he just needs to get more consistent.
No, absolutely. Like the comment I just made there, I want to make it clear as well, like I want him to do it. I just think that what we've seen is inconsistency, and to the point, what you just mentioned, we've seen him be three guys and they're draped all over him, and he makes a catch like with his armpit, and then he comes down and he pushes him off and he scores a touchdown. That's the Dawson that we see when he doesn't have to think, when it's instinctual, when he just goes up there and he's playing football. That's Dawson. When he's wide open, and he has to think like, and he's, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, I'm wide open, oh, crap, I'm wide open, oh, crap. Then he drops the easiest pass that you just feel like he needs to make. I'm hoping that this year we're going to see some maturity. I'm hoping that he grows up a little bit. Yeah. I'm hoping that he just calms down, and I hope that he plays the game with that same just instinctual, I don't have to think about it. Josh, throw me, whether I'm open or not, just let me catch it. I got you. That's what I'm hoping for, man. So listen, Ryan, man, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like with the wide receiver additions, and maybe some like with Hollister in there, maybe he is going to calm down a little bit. Like you said, he's still a young guy in the league. He hasn't been here that long. So, he's a big like hulk of a guy. He likes to go out there and lower himself down and throw some, throw himself into other people and try and create as much chaos as possible. So hopefully he'll be able to calm down. I think that they definitely have the pieces on the team like Hollister to help kind of guide him a little bit. So I'm hoping that we see that maturity and that growth from him, because he can be a monster on the field.
Well, before I let you go, man, I want to ask you one more question. I don't know if you saw it today, I posted it today. I posted a video of Mario Williams when he was with the Buffalo Bills, when we were playing against the New Jersey Giants. And there was a play when he picked up the running back and literally slammed him on his neck, man. Do you first did you see the tweet that I'm talking about?
I'm going to look it up right now, so keep talking.
Okay. Well, so the question that I was going to ask you about that, because what I'm doing now is I'm going to post a video a day from like one of my favorite players or one of my favorite plays just in recent memory of Bills times. Just because I feel like Bills Mafia needs some good stuff to feel, you know, we need some things to feel good about, some good memories. So give me a moment from the cold front. Your favorite memory of the cold front. Doesn't have to be Mario. It could be any one of those guys. It could be Mr. Big Stuff. I got a Marcel Darius video I'm going to post up later on this week, man. He was insane. I'm going to just tell you, not many people could do what this guy could do from the position that he played. It's a shame that things didn't work out in Buffalo, man. I really wish that we could get him back in Buffalo. I think Marcel Darius would be exactly what the Buffalo Bills would need in the middle of that line.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, it was just a thing of maturity versus talent, and he wasn't mature at the time. And you know, he's gone around the league a little bit, so hopefully he's gained that back. So let me say this: I'll pick somebody from that line, but not during necessarily that era. We'll go with Kyle Williams, mm-hmm. and we'll go with his touchdown, his only career touchdown. You know, in one of his last years here, because that's a guy, like I said, I grew up a hockey kid. You know, I was born in 98, so I was around for the Sabres playoff runs and stuff like that. It wasn't until, you know, 2017 that I had a good Buffalo Bills team to watch and to know that there's guys, you know, just to name a few, like Eric Wood and specifically Kyle Williams, that aren't going to be able to hoist that trophy above their heads and get that ring is kind of upsetting. But to know that, you know, that's a guy, he got that special moment. But that was also kind of a moment for all Bills fans where it's like, all right, we're winning and we're having fun at the same time. Like, that was kind of, you know, for me, that was the moment when I knew, like, the team as a whole, you know, it kind of came into its own. And so that's kind of my favorite moment from that. But I have been noticing that you've been posting a video a day. I like it. I like being able to go back and watch that. So I'll be sure to keep my eye out for more of those.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Just like I said, just trying to give some good memories while the news is few and far between right now. You know, like we're not looking for a quarterback. So, you know, we're not paying attention to all the pro days with the quarterbacks, and we're not paying attention to all of the rumblings at the top. So right now it's a fun time. I can post videos of Stevie Johnson, you know, just destroying, you know, quote unquote, the best cornerback of all time. I can post videos of Mario Williams slamming guys on their neck and have a good time with it. So, Ryan, thank you so much for joining me this week on the Code of Conduct, man. Why don't you take a moment, let everybody know where they can find you, where they can find your content and what you got coming up.
Yeah, man. So first, I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to kind of come on here, talk, expose me to the limelight a little bit. I hope this isn't the last time that we get to do this. Hopefully, no, we'll have a little bit more to talk about than, you know, the Buffalo Jills and old jerseys and stuff like that. So, if you want to,
we're gonna get you on when there's some news. Like, I promise. Yeah. First set of all real right. news that start popping after the draft. Me and you gonna do this again, and it's gonna be like we're gonna talk some football because everybody before. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but Ryan has good football knowledge. Like, if you actually get a chance and you check him out, his content is real good. Like, the guy. He's smarter than me, which is why I actually was lucky this week to have him on when there's no news, so he didn't embarrass me. Go ahead, Ryan. My bad.
I don't know if I'm necessarily smarter than you. I think that I just kind of like I throw little things out every now and then, and they seem to hit for some reason. But yeah, so if you want to find, like Jay said in the beginning of this, I co-founded Broviat Union Sports with a couple of my friends from college, and we do everything. We're going to start. We haven't made that much noise yet, but we're going to be releasing NFL podcasts. We're looking to possibly do an XFL podcast for when it comes back around. We're doing MLB. We're doing NHL. We're doing esports. We're doing sports betting. And we're just looking to grow. So by all means, you can check us out on Twitter at TheBroviatUS. But if you want to follow me specifically, you can find me on Twitter at RustBeltKid13.
So everybody go follow him, go check him out, go listen to the content, go find the content. Like I said, it's good quality stuff. If you're looking for good quality Bill stuff, listen, y'all know how I do it over here at the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. This pod will be available tomorrow. So if you're listening to it now, that means you missed the show last night. Shame on you. Check us out again next Monday when we're live again for the Code of Conduct. Do us a favor and subscribe to that YouTube channel. Share it, like, do everything that you can. Let everybody know about it. And take care of each other. Love each other and live in peace. And as usual, go Bills.
Code of Conduct. Go Bills.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.